Our award-winning sustainability reporter, Keely Warren, speaks with seasoned travel writer, environmentalist and author of four inspiring books, including The Mindful Traveller and Go Lightly. Nina Karnikovsky's work advocates for responsible travel and mindful exploration. Her partnership with World Expeditions for their upcoming Himalayan journeys affirms her commitment to ethical tourism. These trips through Nepal will offer travellers an immersive and authentic experience hosted by Nina. Keely gains Nina's insights on responsible travel and simple tips for more mindful wandering.
Nina Karnikovsky is a seasoned travel writer, an environmentalist and a creative. She is the author of four books, The Mindful Traveller, Go Lightly, Make a Living Living and The Writer Within. She also writes for publications such as Condé Nast Traveller and the Sydney Morning Herald's Traveller. Nina has recently partnered with World Expeditions to host guest itineraries through the Himalayas in April and September this year. She also offers a number of creative writing courses with a focus on ethical travel, nature and mindfulness. Nina, you're joining us today with a wealth of knowledge and many accolades as a published author and travel writer. Welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Now, your experience as a travel writer, it really delves into the need for more responsible, intentional and slow travel. When did you realise that there had to be a kinder way to explore the earth?
Well, I had been travel writing for about 8 years at this point, and I took an assignment to the Canadian Arctic in 2019 and visited a town called Churchill, which is the polar bear capital of the world. And the trip there was incredibly eye-opening because I learned about how our warming planet and all of our daily actions, like, you know, mindlessly getting on planes and things like that, are causing the Arctic ice to melt earlier each year, which actually means that the polar bears have less time to feed and then to breed, and that means they aren't, the populations are dwindling. And so I had known some of those statistics before, but I think as humans we respond much better to problems in close proximity with us and to faces rather than numbers. And looking in the faces of those polar bears just took something inside of me. And I got home from that trip and really felt the need to do some soul searching and figure out how I could continue doing this thing that I loved and that is also responsible for 1 in 10 jobs worldwide, opens our minds and does all of these wonderful things. I knew there was a way to continue doing that, but in a way that was kinder to the planet. And so that's really when that whole journey, which I kind of describe as the greatest journey of my career, that's when that all began.
I think when you are face to face with nature and you have experiences like this, and it really brings us back to, I guess, what's important, and we really do value and understand that like the world that we live in and everything that is around us it's up to us to kind of take responsibility and protect what we can. I know as a travel writer and an author, you're delving into this sort of content all the time. How do you promote conscious travel when it comes to helping people to open their eyes and have some of these similar awakenings, similar to how you did?
Well, I do it with increasing gusto because when I first started talking about it, it was a very new concept and people were quite resistant because here I was, this person who was traveling overseas probably up to 1,000 times a year and encouraging everybody to do that, then sort of becoming the Grinch who stole travel and saying that we needed to slow it all down, become much more intentional about it. But the good thing is that people are really thinking about this a lot more. And so I really have a focus on regenerative travel, so travel that is giving back more than we take from places and really understanding that kind of reciprocity with cultures and ecologies that we visit, focusing on Indigenous-led experiences and stories about travel. So I'm always thinking about how I can get those stories into mainstream publications and kind of mold them to the publication so that I can get these ideas out to more people. So an example of that would be I wrote a story recently about a place called Sahili Women that I visited in the Indian Himalayas, and that is an ethical fashion initiative that was started with about $100 by a very tenacious, incredible Indian woman named Madhu Vaishnav, and she has empowered all of these women now, over 100 women, to create ethical fashion, and has brought ham loom back to her village and all these other important artisanal practices. So writing stories about things like that that really promote the culture and the ecology of places. I also promote these ideas through my books. My last one was called The Mindful Traveler. It was a memoir, and I was trying to think about how I could bring the kind of ideas that I had talked about in my first book, Go Lightly, which was more like a handbook about how we can do these things, you know, consume less single-use plastics or pack lightly, those sorts of things, but bringing them to life with stories, because, you know, we are humans, we're storytellers, we respond to stories and to those sorts of exchanges of knowledge. And I also try to work this into workshops and, you know, speaking events, all those sorts of things. So just trying to bring it to life for people and to show them that actually traveling this way makes your travels more delightful, more interesting, and actually a lot more fulfilling in the long term.
I'd completely agree. It's so much more enriching and rewarding when you have this greater understanding and understand our own contribution to the different places that we are lucky enough to experience around the world and the communities that we come into contact with and what we can learn as a knowledge exchange between these local people that are living in these different destinations and the indigenous communities. I think it really does, for me, I have found it so rewarding through this journey of understanding more around regenerative travel in particular, and being more intentional about my own personal travel choices. Now, one thing that you did mention just now was the work that you've been doing in the Himalayas. I know that you've got this opportunity coming up, a partnership with World Expeditions, where you are actually hosting a couple of tours this year. How did your background as a travel writer lead you to partnering with World Expeditions as a tour host, particularly for the region throughout the Himalayas? It sounds like you have got a natural affinity with this region with some of the work that you've done in the past.
Yes, I do. I actually lived in India for a year 10 years ago because my husband was working for GQ India and I had just started travel writing. So that was really my entree into that world. And I traveled a lot through the Himalayas that year. And then I've continued to return again and again. I went a couple of years ago and had an extraordinary experience at a place called the Happy House in the mid Himalayas. That was where Sir Edmund Hillary used to stay. I've had all of these incredible experiences there, and I had traveled with World Expeditions once for a different assignment, so we had already had that exchange, and then they actually approached me and after around the time when my memoir came out, and they said, would you be interested in hosting a trip with these themes in mind of mindful travel, of conscious travel, that sort of thing? And of course, I leapt at that opportunity because that just sounds so delightful to me to not have to deal with the logistics, but focus on how can I make this trip as nourishing for everybody who's on it and open them up to all of these ideas that have just been so so transformational for me. And so it's a 13-day trip and it's all centered around mindfulness and sustainability. And aside from hiking through that breathtaking Everest region, we will be doing workshops on reflective writing and mindful photography as well, and meeting with the founder of a groundbreaking women's farming project who provide training to female farmers on organic agriculture practices. And we'll be sitting with a Buddhist teacher and staying at ecos and lodges and all sorts of incredible things that just epitomize this idea of more mindful travel.
That sounds like a wonderful experience. I'm sure that these sorts of experiences that they do sell out fairly quickly. I know that the April tour that has been organised, I think that has sold out. But the September tour, there are still some opportunities there for people to come along with you and have an experience in the Himalayas. It sounds incredible. Now, Nina, we need to wrap up shortly, and what I would love to hear from you is whether there is one thing that comes to mind that you feel that anyone can do to become a more mindful, responsible, and ethical traveller.
There is, and that is putting money into the pockets of locals. So there's a term the tourism industry uses, leakage, that describes how travellers' dollars leak out of host countries and into the pockets of multinational corporations. And that's, according to the UN's World Tourism Organization, that's about 95% of the money we spend leaking out of the destination. So one of the best ways to plug those leaks is to support small, locally owned businesses, putting that money directly into the pockets of locals and staying in small, locally owned hotels, eating at small, locally owned eateries, using indigenous guides, and buying handcrafted goods that support indigenous artisans. So that is a really fun way to give back, actually, because it's just doing the things that you would usually do, but having them much more tailored to the destination and ensuring that your precious travel dollars, as one of the part of the 6% of people in the world who have ever set foot on a plane, taking those travel dollars and really making sure that they are staying in the place that you have traveled so far to visit.
That's a wonderful suggestion, Nina. Tourism leakage is certainly a huge challenge. 95% is a huge statistic of money and revenue that just floods out of a destination. When we go travelling and we spend money on location, we generally do assume that that goes back into the local economy. But unfortunately, with so many large brands and chains and organisations that have shareholders based internationally, that doesn't necessarily happen. So you're completely right. It's certainly one incredible way to have a huge impact and to give back to those local communities. And it's also another opportunity that enriches our own experiences when we are traveling in these destinations, because we are having very authentic, very real, very immersive experiences where we're closer to community, we're closer to actually getting a taste, both literally and having a taste of local cuisine and not ordering things that we would have at home. I think when we're ordering, you know, certain brands and imported goods and these sorts of things, it has a knock-on impact, as well as that money not going back into the local economy. So, yeah, that's a wonderful tip, Nina. Thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you again for joining us on the show today. It's been such a pleasure chatting with you. We're very much looking forward to hearing how the tours through the Himalayas, how they go later in the year, and we look forward to having you on the show again at some point soon.
Thank you so much. It's been a delight.
Keely Warren there in conversation with Nina Karnikowski, travel writer, author, and environmentalist.